good afternoon to all brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. Today is the 17th March 2024. So we will be having our Heart Sutra class again. So as usual, we will have our three pujas before we commence our Heart Sutra sharing. Regarding the Heart Sutra, we will be covering a very interesting topic today, regarding the Six Patriarch Platform Sutra, Hui Neng Liu Zhu, Master Hui Neng. Also, we shall go through the famous poems by both Shen Xiu and Hui Neng. These are the two beautiful Dhamma poems that can bring out the understanding of the teaching very, very profoundly. So we will go through that later. Okay, now we shall have our physical puja. Let us now compose our mind till the faith, sada, virya. Then mindfully we shall commence our puja chanting. Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Namah. Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Namah. Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Namah. Namo Guanxin Bhusa. Namo Guanxin Bhusa. Namo Guanxin Bhusa. Namo Amitabha. Namo Amitabha. Namo Amitabha. Namo Amitabha. Namo Amitabha. Namo Amitabha. Namo Bhusya Bhusa. Namo Bhusya Bhusa. Namo Bhusya Bhusa. Namo Dishangwa Bhusa. Namo Dishangwa Bhusa. Namo Dishangwa Bhusa. Namo Pho Bhusa. Namo Pho Bhusa. Namo Pho Bhusa. Arahang Sama Sambuddho Bhagava. Buddhang Bhagavantang Abhivademi. Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammang Namasami. Supatipanno Bhagavato Savakasangho Sanghang Namami. Namo Atassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa. Namo Atassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa. Namo Atassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa. Buddhang saranang gacchami, Dhammang saranang gacchami, Sanghang saranang gacchami, Dujiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami, Dujiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami, Dujiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami, Tatiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Panatipata viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Adina dana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Kamesu micchacara viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Musavada viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Sura meraya maja pama datanga Veramani sikapadang samadhiyami Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let us pay respect to Buddha. Buddha Pujemi. Dhammang Pujemi. Sanghang Pujemi. Okay, you all can be seated. Just relax and maintain some form of attention. Then we will start off with the the invocation to the Devasa. Turn to page 6 of the chanting book. Invocation to the Devas. In this universe, in their entirety, let the deities or Devas come here. Let them hear the good teachings of the King of Sages, which is heaven and release, Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. Samanta Chiyakawalesu Atraha Gacchantu Devata Saddhammang Muni Rajasa Sunantu Sakka Mokkadang Dhamma Sunantalo Ayang Padanta Dhamma Sunantalo Ayang Padanta Dhamma Sunantalo Ayang Padanta Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa Iti Deso Bhagava Arahang Samma Sambuddho Vijja Charana Sampanno Sugato Lokavido Anuttaro Purisa Dhamma Sarati Satta Deva Manusang Buddho Bhagavati Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Sanditiko Akaliko Ehi Paseko Opanayiko Pasyatang Veditabo Vinohiti Supatipanno Bhagavato Savakasangho Ujjupatipanno Bhagavato Savakasangho Ayapatipanno Bhagavato Savakasangho Samichipatipanno Bhagavato Savaka Sangho Yadidam Chattari Purisa Yukani Atta Purisa Bhugala Esa Bhagavato Savaka Sangho Ahuneyo Pahuneyo Dakkeneyo Anjali Karaneyo Anuttarang punyang ketang lokasati Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. please turn to page 14 and continue from where we stop. We're supposed to share the new topic, 2.2. Important quotations from Six Patria Platform Sutta. Six Patria is the famous Master Hui Ning. Hui Ning Liu Zhu. He is the number six from Bodhidharma. Bodhidharma came over from India, and Bodhidharma was termed the first patriarch of China. Before that, all the other patriarchs are from India. If I'm not wrong, Bodhidharma was the 28th patriarch from the tradition of Sakyamuni Buddha. Then after that, when he came over to China, he became the first patriarch of China. Then it was predicted that the Mahayana tradition that actually came over from India will flourish with the coming of the sixth patriarch. So after the arising of the sixth patriarch, the Mahayana teaching actually take a very beautiful turn, and it become very famous. So today is indeed an auspicious occasion for us to go through this 6-18 platform sutta. Now we will go into it. Introduction. One day, while delivering firewood into a store, Hui Ning heard a customer reciting the Diamond Sutta. The Diamond Sutta is a Mahayana Sutta. They pronounce it as Jing Gang Jing. Diamond is Jing Gang. So, Diamond Sutta is Jing Gang Jing. And this is a very famous sutta under the Mahayana tradition. There were not many words, but they are very profound. So, Hui Ning heard a customer reciting the Diamond Sutta, and he had an awakening when he heard the stanza. The mind must have no dwelling. So now I pronounce it to you. The mind must have no dwelling. How many of you can really awaken and become like enlightened to it? So this one is because Hui Ning is not an ordinary being. He has been a cultivator long before. And this coming, he already has a bag of beautiful cultivation. That's why he can become the sixth patron. That is how unique he is. So he immediately inquired about the sutta and decided to seek out the fifth patron, Hongren, at his monastery on Huangmei Mountain. Hui Ning then embarked on his journey, and after traveling for 30 days on foot, he arrived at Huangmei Mountain, where the fifth patriarch was residing. So this one is actually a very brief, composed Six Patriarch Platform Sutta's description of how all this happened. In fact, they already summarized a lot of things. In actual fact, when the fifth patriarch at that time, he was not a patriarch yet, he was just waiting. He was delivering firewood to this store owner or innkeeper owner. So while he delivered them every day, that day it so happened there was a devotee of the 50 years. He came and stayed, and he was chanting the Diamond Sutra. Yeah. The inspiration of Huineng was a woodcutter, uneducated, doesn't know Dhamma, doesn't know any philosophy or philosophical teaching. And yet, the word, the mind must have no dwelling, striking, has great impact on him. That's where he inquired with the so-called devotee or person who chanted it. That person was so amazed. He said, how on earth an illiterate like you, with no education and no proper background or Dhamma understanding, awaken to such stanza? Then this particular devotee who chanted the Diamond Sutta knew that Huineng is destined to be a great being, because somehow, being a woodcutter without education, he can understand such profound teachings. Then he inquired about Huineng's intent. So Huineng said, from where do you get this teaching? Or this Diamond Sutra teaching? He said, from the fifth base here, the Hongmei Mountain. So he told his devotee or the merchant that he intend to visit him if there is condition. Then the merchant was full of joy. He said, yeah, I will give you a recommendation letter, he said. Then you don't worry about your mother. At first, Huineng was hesitating because the mother needs his care. So this devotee or the merchant, he, I think, quite well off. He undertake to look after the mother, provide for the mother, and give Huineng some form of traveling allowance to go with the recommendation to meet up with the fifth patriarch. And it took him 30 days, because at that time there was no proper transport. Huineng has to walk all the way, and while he walked, he needed to ask around, where is this famous fifth patriarch Hongmei Mountain? So that's how the whole history come about. If you were to view the documentary of the fifth patriarch Pakom Sutta, you can see the whole story there, which is quite interesting. Yeah. I remember in the early days, I watched this movie video many times. I like this movie. The first time I saw it in the cinema, I was full of joy. Then it's like it touches my heart. And the Dhamma verses or stanza quotation were all very beautiful. That's why this 68 platform sutta is a very unique sutta. Okay, we go back to the notes. So this particular format that I share with you all under this what they call Heart Sutta book is from the Ming Canon version, which I managed to source it from the internet. At that time, I read too many versions, but none of them is as concise and as precise or accurate as this Main Canon version. That's why I like this Main Canon version. It's like meant to be at that time. I Googled and it came out. So now I will read on. From the first chapter of the Ming Canon version of the Platform Sutta. So I extracted this, so you listen. Straight away I zoom in to the keys of it. It started out by saying the fifth patriarch asked Huineng, asked me here, Miss Huineng, because it was really surprising. Hongren asked, Hui Neng, who are you and what do you say? The way he answered is so beautiful. Hui Neng replied, he straight away called him the master and said, your disciple is a commoner, means just a common citizen, uneducated, don't have any education, from Xingzhou of Lingnan. I have traveled far to pay homage to you and seek nothing other than Buddhahood. You see, he not only come and seek enlightenment, he wants to seek nothing else except Buddhahood. Means the fully enlightened one, the supreme vehicle teaching. And this really indicates how profound his path was, his nature was. So because of that, the fifth page I say, so you are from Lingnan, a southerner and a barbarian. He purposely actually instigated Hui Neng. In the time of the fifth patriarch, they had this understanding that the northern part of China, which is Beijing, is the educated one, where all the scholars and educated people are there. Whereas in the south, they are usually the uneducated, and they call them the southerner. And sometimes they call them barbarian because very crude, not refined in their approach to life and existence. Then, sarcastically, the PPT say, since you are a southerner and a barbarian, how can you expect to be a Buddha? Asked the fifth patriarch. But the fifth patriarch actually purposely arise this question to instigate the instigate Hui Neng. It's not really instigate, right? To probe him so that he can answer. If he know how to answer, then he know this guy is something exceptional. Somebody quite exceptional. Not what normal people think. So after he put forth this very difficult question to Hui Neng, Hui Neng replied beautifully. Hui Neng said, I reply, although people exist as northerner and southerner, in the Buddha nature, there is neither north or south. This is so beautiful. Then he said, a barbarian may differ from your holiness physically, means physical appearance, outwardly. But what is the difference when it comes to the Buddha nature? You remember the last session? We went through the sharing. We talk about seeing form, seeing the unreality of form, then seeing beyond form. So this is how Hui Neng applied the seeing that he has. He said, conventional term, living being can be classified. Means people exist as northerner or southerner, but in the Buddha nature, there is none. That nature has no destination or birthplace of north or south. Then, when the fifth patriarch say southerner are barbarian, means the northerner are educated. The fifth patriarch, Hui Neng, before he became the fifth patriarch, because of his basic wisdom, he was able to reply that a barbarian refers from his holiness only outwardly, physically. Means if he cling to the form, if he use the form to identify, then there is like barbarian, uneducated, and the educated, like his holiness. That is his physical, outward appearance. But then when it comes to the mind, they are still different. That's why we also go through. We have to see mind, the unreality of mind, and see beyond mind. Then what do we see? We see the Buddha nature, which is common to all living beings. That's why he said, but what is the difference when it comes to the Buddha nature? Then the fifth is where Master Hongren, he knew this guy is somebody, could be an authentic guy seeking Buddhahood. That's why Master Hongren, in order not to create unnecessary commotion or misunderstanding, because it will be very awkward, isn't it? There are most who come and study with him, they are from the northerner who can afford, educated and relatively well off and smart people. But then to expect one southerner, it may give rise to some form of misunderstanding at that time. So what Master Hongren did was, he immediately, Master Hongren, the fifth baker, immediately asked Kui Ming, okay, you go to the kitchen, he said, to do the chaos in the kitchen, to start off with the rice meal, where he need to pound rice and do all the chores that a normal helper do. So Kui Ming need to go and chop firewood and pound the rice at the monastery. And he did it for 8 months. Then fast forward, the item three, straight away they go to the section on how he became the sixth patron. This part is very beautiful, and yet very profound. So maybe before I go to this part, I will explain a little bit. Bring it down back a bit. Okay. So, Master Hongren, the fifth patriarch, he being a wise patriarch, he knew what is going on. So, what he wanted is to prevent any misunderstanding, he actually sent not only Hui Ning to the kitchen to chop firewood, pound rice, and help out, prepare meals, everything. But he does not allow Hui Ning to come to the main hall to even listen to the Dhamma or partake in any of the Dhamma session. So that was to protect Hui Ning and also not to create unnecessary misunderstanding. So Hui Ning, being a relatively wise disciple who has his past, understood the meaning. That's why he didn't really complain or make any protest against the fifth here by saying, I have been here for 8 months. How come you don't teach me anything? You ask me to just pound rice and chop firewood and cook for you all and serve you all. He don't have such negative thought or idea. He just happily go about doing what he has been offered to do. And to him, he's already very contented. They are able to be with the fifth patriarch in his monastery, observing is good enough. As a true cultivator, go there to observe. A lot of people fail to have the understanding. They are very impatient when they want to learn something, especially spiritual teaching. they were trying to look for a good monastery with a famous master or teacher. Then when they go there, they're too eager to progress, to learn. So they normally don't have the patience. They don't even want to observe and find out. They just like boss themselves around and say, who is the abbot or who is the person in charge? I'm here to learn the Dhamma. How can I sit in this person? But if you do that, chances are your approach may not be sincere enough. The way you confront people, you lack the refinement of the Noble Eightfold Path, path factor, that enable you to actually deliver your message accordingly or appropriately. So all this as cultivator of the way, we need to actually develop understanding. That's why when you read, you must read with understanding. Read between the lines. Don't miss out on the important pointers or meaning. So you look at this 6-page platform sutra. It's so beautiful. So 8 months, Hui Ming didn't complain or didn't behave like normal people, too eager to learn, too eager to progress, want to complain and create a scene or whatever. But through his understanding, he developed contentment and he developed the joy just to be able to be placed there to learn from him, although the time has not come. And what he did was very noble. Chop firewood, pound the rice, help to cook and serve the whole of the temple's community. Of course, including Hui Ming, Hong Ren, the fifth patron, and all the great monks, we call it the devotees and helpers of the temple. So now we come to section 3, how he became the sixth patron. So one day, Master Hong Ren announced, this one you must listen attentively. This one is very profound. And I love it. Then I saw the video show, the cinema show. And when I pick up this Ming Canon version, I was full of joy. Listen, one day Master Hong Ren, the fifth patriarch, announced. He said the question of insistent rebirth is a momentous one. Do you understand what he meant? He is referring to the birth and death of living beings, especially human beings. He said the question of incessant rebirth means keep on undergoing samsara, birth and death. And this is what samsara is all about. So he said, this incessant rebirth, coming back every life, to go through the misery, the suffering, without the Dhamma understanding, is a momentous one. It's not easy to go. So, the fifth patriarch, from here, he start to deliver his message. He said, day after day, instead of trying to free yourself, means developing the wisdom to awaken, from this bitter sea of life and death, or in Mandarin they call Kuhai. So instead of trying to free, means to liberate oneself from this momentous problem of birth and death, samsara. So in Mahayana, in the Mandarin version, they call 了生死, means to stop this incessant rebirth. 了生死, means to stop coming. You need to realize the enlightenment in the here and the now, which the Buddha has taught us, is to realize Nibbana, which is a cessation of form and mind. After that, your wisdom is so profound, there is no more avidya or ignorance at the moment of death. That's why when you can die without avidya, then there is no more ignorance to condition the rebirth consciousness. That's how you free from this cessation, incessant rebirth. Means you can awaken to liberate from birth and death, so that samsara is no longer for you to come. You can rise above it and liberate your mind through wisdom. We are realizing the cessation of forming mind to realize the arahantaship or the fourth stage of sainthood. So here, I read again, then you will understand better. Hongren, the master, Pipetria said, the question of incessant rebirth is a momentous one. Day after day, instead of trying to meditate, to free your mind, to liberate your mind, and to realize the enlightenment so that you can go beyond birth and death. But you seem to go after tint of merit only. That is very true. Huh? Tint of merit means merit which will cause rebirth. You see, if you look at all the devotees' behavior, even in Malaysia, it's the same. Most of these lay devotees, they are more interested in doing what? Dana, generosity. They thought if they donate or offer dana to the monks, it's very high merit. They contribute to the temple. They contribute to their ceremony. They donate towards the they call it the they donate as alms, food and support for the monks' community. Then there is a lot of merit. So they are more interested in merit, which is very common. There is no denying. A lot of people, when you start by going to temple, you make a lot of offering, donation. Of course, service too, and many other things. But here, merit, before you become enlightened, the fifth base you knew is tinted merit. Tinted merit means without wisdom. Tinted is the ego, the egoic mind, the personality, the sakyarity, the self-delusion. That's why with that, your merit cannot become pure merit. That's why it's called tinted merit. And this tinted merit, no matter how much you do, it still brings about rebirth. That's why it's called tinted merit. Merit which will cause rebirth. It cannot free you from the incessant rebirth. So, the fifth page here actually passed on this message, he said. The question of incessant rebirth is a momentous one. Day after day, instead of trying to free yourself from birth and death, you seem to be more interested in going after tinted merits. Then he said, your merits will be of no help if your essence of mind is obscure. This is a very good stanza. Do you really understand the meaning or not? Essence of mind is obscure. What is your essence of mind? That one more important. By now, I think Kayamita should know it. We develop awareness-based meditation to realize what? To realize what? The awareness nature within, isn't it? So the awareness nature within is actually your true mind, your silent mind, your meditative mind. So there is a nature within us. And that nature is the pure awareness, the first to come out from the source. So we call this the true mind or the essence of mind. So we say whatever merits you do, yet merits will be of no help if your essence of mind is clouded. Clouded by what? Yeah? Clouded by what? We have gone through the four circle formation of the Surangama Sutta, how we fall, First, to arise from the source is the pure awareness nature, and that one, living being for God. Well, at birth, everybody has that. But then, as we grew up, we are so conditioned. And we are taught many things. We are concept, idea, and speech. Means, we learn through the mundane thinking, the mundane mind. We are the thought process. We are concept, idea, and knowledge. That's how we get ourselves entangled. Whereas a newborn baby, before the conditioning, before they are taught anything, is very pure. That is our pure essence. But then, the moment you come to be born in this world, living being, they are taught through the thought process to grow up and to become what they are. So the thought process is the one that created this delusion, this activity of mind, or we call it the aggregates of mind. The aggregates of mind, as we have gone through, there are four. What can your mind do? Your mind can feel, can perceive, can create thought process, thinking, mental states, mental intention, mental volition, mental formation, planning, scheming, etc. Whatever that your mind can do, or the activity, the emotion. So that is the third aggregate of Sankara, and Sankara is very powerful. In fact, Sankara includes the first two, feeling and perception. Then there is one more thing that our mind can do. Our mind can become conscious. Conscious of what we see, what we hear, what we smell, what we taste, what we tactile feel and think. The six sense basis. That can trigger off the correspondent six sense basis. See, throughout the day, you are so active with your senses, creating thought process, creating perception, feeling, emotion, and all the activity of mind, then how can you be aware to understand what is going on in life? So these are the things that obscure your true mind. When you arise the thought, the mundane mind, the aggregates of mind, of feeling, perception, activity of mind, mental states, etc., and every moment of mind moment, you become conscious. Conscious of what you see, then you think, you perceive, and you get lost in thought. That's how you obscure yourself. you create the obstruction to your true essence of mind, your true nature. And you forgot that you have a nature because you are lost in thought, preoccupied all your thinking, your emotion, your idea, your concept of things. And via words, you divide. And via the views, opinion, conditioning, and belief system that you accumulated in your memory through all the things that you learned since birth until now. And that accumulated views, opinion, conditioning, belief system, phobia, etc., scars of memory, they are actually your knowledge. You hold on to a lot of knowledge in the form of views, opinion, conditioning, and belief system. And through that, you think you know a lot. That's why in the Buddhist teaching, especially the Mahayana teaching, the Wuliang Yi Jing, and also the Wuliang Shu Jing, they say knowledge bound. So, Zhuzang, everything you come to know is knowledge. Because it's from the thought. And that is knowledge. So, so su zang is knowledge bound. Then the other one is fan nao zang, where you think a lot, lost in thought, become heedless. You worry a lot. Because through thinking, you create worry and anxiety. Then you get yourself entangled into sorrow and lamentation. Your thinking, if it's a reason to the delusion, sakarity, then you will think the wrong thought. And what are wrong thoughts? Thought that condition your suffering, your emotion, your fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow and lamentation. These are all wrong thoughts. And the root behind the arising of wrong thought is ignorance, avijja. And because of ignorance, the main one is self-delusion, sakkāyādiṭṭhi. And because of that, the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion will arise. So when we talk about things that obscure your essence of mind, your true mind, your pure nature, it's actually your thinking, your thought process, your sankara activity, your emotion, conditioned by your wrong view, your delusion, your sakkāyādiṭṭhi, your avijja. So, to develop the meditative understanding is to silence our mind and observe clearly how we get ourselves entangled and how we function as a human being. How do we know the world? How do we interact with the world? And how do we get entangled into all this? And how did all this happen? Until today, most living beings, they forgot who they are. They are deludedly bounded by the thought process, the thinking. So the thought process through the activity of mind or the aggregates of mind, they part with your nature. When your nature is clouded, you cannot be mindful, you cannot be aware, you cannot understand truth, you cannot see things as they are, you cannot be with the moment to be aware of what is going on in life and to develop the understanding of life. So all this, they are very obvious. So, ability to understand all this is what the Buddhist teaching is all about. That's why the fifth patriarch, being wise to the extent, can understand all this. So we go back to the notes, huh? The sharing. So the sixth patriarch mentioned, the question of incessant rebirth is a momentous one. Day after day, instead of trying to free yourself to liberate from birth and death, you seem to be more interested in going after tinted marriage. And what is this marriage? Marriage which will continue to condition rebirth. And yet, marriage will be of no help if your essence of mind is obscure. So now this stanza is clear. Hopefully it's clear to you all now. So obscure by what? Aggregates of mind. Via your own thought to the thinking. Then the message is very beautiful. Listen, the next message is, the fifth teacher say, go and seek prajna. What is prajna? Wisdom instead of marriage. And where do you seek? In your own mind. Means, you must reflect and contemplate, silence your mind, to observe clearly and develop the understanding, and then write me a stanza or a gatha about what you have realized. He who understands what the essence of mind is, means realize your awareness nature within, will be given the rope, the insignia of the patriarchy. Means you can inherit the patriarchy. And the Dhamma, the ultimate teaching of the Zen school, means not only you receive the rope and the path as an insignia, you will also receive the profound Dhamma teaching of the Zen school. Then, Hongren, the fifth being, has said, I shall then make him the person who successfully did it, the sixth being. Then he said, go away quickly. Delay not in writing the stanza, as deliberation is quite unnecessary. Now you understand why I mark in bold words. Deliberation means go and discuss and talk about this type of thing. No use. Understand? No amount of deliberation can help you develop the wisdom. You should instead silence your mind, develop the awareness to be aware and to awaken to the teaching. So what the patriarch advice is very good. Delay not in writing the stanza, as deliberation is quite unnecessary and of no use. Make a note of all this word. The man who has realized the essence of mind, this is the most important, can speak of it at once. Means what? Means what? No need to go to memory, to remember. It's not knowledge, understand? It's spontaneous. The this one is within your nature. That's why he says, the man who has realized the essence of mind can speak of it at once, as soon as he is spoken to about it. Means you talk to him, he will be able to reply you. He will understand what that thing is. And he cannot lose sight of it. Means what? No need to remember, understand? No need to put in the memory. This is wisdom awakening. The form of mind that realizes this awakening has the wisdom connected to it. So here, the message is very beautiful. The man who has realized the essence of mind can speak of it at once, means spontaneous. As soon as he is spoken to about it, means no hesitation, no need to wait, no need to check. And he cannot lose sight of it. It's always with him. Even then, engage in battle. Even when he's fighting a war, you understand? No matter what happens, that Dhamma, the understanding, is with his nature. So this is so profound and so beautiful. That's why in the early days when I share all this, I cannot give you the deep explanation because most of you are not ready. That's why at that time I didn't read through. But now, this time around, when I share the Heart Sutta, it's again different. You can start to see. I have gone in more deep, more profound, so that those who have the progress or training and understanding can appreciate it more and develop the clearer understanding of what this Heart Sutta is the Six Deity Platform Sutta. In fact, this Heart Sutta, like I explained to you all yesterday, everything that you need is here to realize the Sainthood Way. And of course, some of the Bodhisattva Way, the beginning, the preliminary teaching. But most of the Sainthood Way, they are here. And you can understand this more than enough. That's why at that time, I technically, I think, hinted to a lot of Kayamita. No need to take notes anymore. Whatever you need, you go to the Heart Sutta, they are there. So all this, hopefully, by now, most Kayamita would have developed the understanding. Okay, we continue. However, the disciples said to each other that they didn't need to write any gatha, and that surely their teacher, or the head monk, Venerable Sun Siu, means the chief disciple of the fifth patriarch Hongren, would become the sixth patriarch. So they all actually decided already. They said nobody else should be given the honor except Sun Siu. So only Sun Siu, the chief disciple, wrote a gatha or stanza for Master Hongren. But as a head monk, Sun Siu was well respected. And because of that, he is under great pressure to produce a gatha that will qualify him as the next patriarch or the sixth patriarch. However, he was uncertain as to his own understanding. See? When you have doubt, means you are not there yet. And eventually, he decided to write a poem and name anonymously, means without putting his name there on the wall. He waited for in the middle of the night. Then only to announce his authorship when Master Hongren approved of it. So that poem that Sun Siu wrote is this. Xin Shi Pu Ti Su means our body is like a Bodhi tree. Xin Ru Ming Jing Tai. He thought this is the true mind. He said this one is the mundane mind. He said the mind is like a mirror bright on a stand. Now, this one is a mundane mind. This is not your true mind. This is not your essence of mind. That's why Sun Siu cannot break free. Then, Shi Shi Qing Fo Shi means polish it until it shines, because it's a mirror bright. Something you have polished. Then, Wu Shi Re Chen An, so that no dust can align. So when the disciples saw this gatha on the wall, there was a great commotion or stir. But when Hongren saw it, he told them, well, practice according to this gatha, you will not fall into the evil realm, and you will receive great benefits. True or not? What does it mean, you will not fall into the evil realm? Means, you can realize the sainthood, enlightenment, at least a sotapan. First stage of sainthood. Once you are a sotapan, you will have the minimum five precepts. Then you will not take rebirth under the four willful states, the evil eye. So the four willful states, as you all know, the demon right, the animal right, then the the animal right. Then you have the hungry ghost right, then the hell. So these are the four woeful state, or the evil destiny, where a lot of suffering arises. So according to Hongren, the fifth patriarch, he said, not bad, he said, practice according to this gatha and you will not fall into the evil realm, and you will receive great benefit, means marriage, much better marriage, of course. Then he said, light incense, and pay respect to this gatha, recite it, and you will see your essential nature. Means what? Since you haven't seen his essential nature, understand? He said, light incense and pay respect to this kata, recite it. And then only you can see your essential. Means you must recite it until the heart develops the understanding, understand? You must really develop the understanding to awaken to it. If you don't have the faith to develop the recitation and to cultivate, to silence your mind, to realize it, then you cannot see your essential nature, which means you cannot have the real enlightenment beyond the sainthood way. To enlighten beyond the sainthood way, you remember, I share with you all, it's not just the sainthood way, which is just the simple awakening to having a glimpse of what that nature is, a glimpse of nibbana, cessation, or a more stable cessation where you go in for a longer time. But you have not realized that essential nature. Means you have not developed the ability to realize the gateway to your nature, to awaken your essential nature, which is your awareness nature within your heart. That one is for the bodhisattva way. The sinful way, like I said, no need to go through all this. So to see your essential nature is to realize it, awaken to it, then silence everything and locate the gateway to go in, to cultivate the nature, to develop the supreme vehicle cultivation. So that is the profound meaning of this particular 6 page here, like from Sutta. So you look at the words that Oren, the 5th page here, used. It is so profound, so beautiful, and it's so precise. The word is precise. So what happened is, after that, all the disciples praise and memorize the Gatha. Then after that, however, privately, Master Hongren told Sun Xiu. Now this part very interesting, huh? You pay attention. He said to Sun Xiu, you have arrived at the gate of enlightenment, but you haven't entered it. Like I used to tell you, huh? He is at the entrance, the gate, but he doesn't know how to go in. With this level of understanding, he said, you still have no idea what that supreme Bodhi mind is. Means what that essential nature, what that awareness nature, that true mind is. You still don't have any idea. But he told Sun Xiu, upon hearing my words, actually he gave him the hint, which is so clear cut now. Upon hearing my words, you should immediately recognize the original mind. Means your true mind. See clearly in every thought, means stay with the awareness nature, understand? See clearly in every thought moment, with the mind free of all the mental hindrance. Then in the one reality, everything is real. And all phenomena are just as they are. See how beautiful and how profound this word of wisdom are. Means you must recognize the true mind, the silent mind. So he said, upon hearing my word, means after I've given you so much hint, you should immediately, you know, recognize the true mind, or the original mind. Then see it. Clearly, he said, this original true mind, the essential nature which is unborn, non-arising and non-ceasing, 不生不灭. So all these are very beautiful understanding. So to realize this essential nature, which is unborn and unceasing, is not easy. That's why even Sun Siwa, he is already almost there. You know, the word is almost there. You know when he go wrong. Because he still cannot understand there is another mind that is beyond the mundane mind, the thinking mind. Even the mindfulness that he did, because it's not stable, he still thinks that that is the mind. But that is not the true mind. That is just that moment without thought. It's a deep. That's why I say it's awareness before the knowing. But the next moment, thought coming. That's why he failed to recognize the true mind. He said that mundane mind, which he doesn't understand. He said that mind, there is a mirror bright that reflects everything. That one is your mundane mind, understand? No? That's why he called it the mirror bright. Understand? He thought he is holding on to that mind. That's where he failed. So the reason why I started teaching you all the awareness-based meditation after the year 2016 is, yeah, this is very vital for you to transcend your mundane mind, for you to realize your true mind. That's why I say the first thing cultivator of the way must do is to develop the awareness nature, silence everything, and realize the true mind, and stabilize it until you can see clearly what that nature is, and how from that nature, the mundane thinking, the mundane mind, the aggregates of mind, they actually manifest from there very fast. They just come up. Unless you see that, awaken to that, you will never understand you have another mind. That's why this Six Basic Platform Sutta is so profound, so beautiful, and so wonderful. Go back to the Heart Sutta, I will continue a bit more. So here, because Sun Siu couldn't understand what the Fifth Basic is telling him, I believe at that time he must be quite nervous, I think. Been tested by the Fifth Basic, yeah, and told so bluntly, you know, and so, although I use the word hinted so clearly, you know, and yet he cannot understand, you know. He cannot get it, you know, that's why he is so kacau, you know. Then Master Hong Ren also didn't press. He gave him time, he said, Master Hong Ren said, the Fifth Basic, ask Sun Siu, you go and compose another gatha that demonstrate your true understanding. And you know what happened? Sun Siu tried very hard. He couldn't come up with another verse. You know how long he tried now? Yeah? At least 6 hours. Sunken. You know why I know that? Because Hong Ren, the Fifth Basic, after the gatha all come out, then later on, one of the disciples went to the kitchen, you know, went to the kitchen, recite the Sun Siu's poem. Then Hui Neng heard, then Hui Neng realized Sun Siu has not awakened. No. With that mind he was referring to is the thinking mind, not the true mind. That's why he said, I also want to see, I also got something to write. That's why he went and wrote the opposite stanza that actually tear apart the whole of Sun Siu. That one was the most beautiful one. Then after that poem come about, you know what happened? Everybody was amazed. So there's another bigger commotion. So. Then they say, wow, how amazing. You can never underestimate a person. You say, this guy has been in the kitchen, a southerner without education, illiterate, can suddenly come out with this type of prayer. Then the fifth area where he came to know and saw the thing, he quickly rubbed it off and said, this one also haven't seen the nature. So he wanted to distract them from maybe going after Huineng. But then he went to the kitchen and looked for Huineng. And you know what he did? He saw Huineng pounding rice with a stone to add on to the momentum. Then he asked Huineng, how long have you been carrying that stone to help you to gain the weight and the momentum to pound the rice? Oh, he said, since the day I came. Then he looked at the rice he has pounded. He said, is the rice ready? The way Huineng reply was beautiful. He said, long ago already, waiting somebody to come and sieve it. Waiting to be sieved. The moment you sieve it, you can go and cook it already. You can eat it. Then Hong Ren smiled, knew that this is the guy that deserved the six patriarchship. He hit the what they call pestle, that powder rice, three times off. Peng, 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 if he's walking stick. And Huineng knew, son can go and see him. That's why I say, Hong Ren must have waited for that long, at least, son can. And yet, Shen Xiu did turn up. Means Shen Xiu, being so nervous, couldn't come up with the stanza. So now you understand why the cultivation is not easy. You understand? Okay, why not I do it this way? Today, maybe no meditation. We go for discussion. Now, you all can on the mic. We discuss. My question is what? You know why? Because of Shen Xiu's incident, I explained to you all, the real cultivation of the Supreme Vehicle, the Mayana Way, is not easy. Anybody want to try to add on or discuss it? Why Shen Xiu cannot understand all the hints that Hong Ren, the fifth lady, has given him?
Good afternoon, Rajia.
You should understand.
Your question again, Rajia.
My question is, how comes Shen Xiu, after having the understanding of the poem he wrote, then the fifth lady hinted to him, he said, after hearing what he had explained to him, that he is at the gate of the enlightenment and he doesn't know how to go in. So after hinting all those things, he said, by then, he said, you should actually develop the understanding of what that thing is. See how you go back to just now that part. I read the actual wording better, then thing B can understand. Go up a bit. Okay. However, privately, Master Hong Ren told Shen Xiu, you have arrived at the gate of enlightenment, but you haven't entered it. Okay? Just so this part can follow, okay? Then he said, with this level of understanding, means if he can do until there, you still have no idea of what this Supreme Bohima is. Because that understanding is based on the mundane mind and the mindfulness that he is doing. The so-called Theravada tradition mindfulness. Not that nature one. Understand not? The awareness or mindfulness of the Theravada tradition is the mundane mind without thought. Understand? They haven't realized that nature inside that. So what did the fifth Theravada say after that is very interesting. He told Shen Xiu, upon hearing my words, made after hinting to him, that he has arrived at the gate of enlightenment, means you only need to understand it realize it and walk inside, understand? Or maybe nobody walking, you just realize it, awaken to it. But he say, although you are at the gate of enlightenment, but you haven't entered it. But with this level of understanding, you still don't have any idea of what the true mind is, the supreme body mind is. But then he hinted to Hui Ming, he said, hey, sorry, Sun Xiu, upon hearing my word, you should immediately, the word is immediately, recognize the original mind, the essence of mind, the essential nature, which is unborn and unceasing. All the time, if you can realize it, you will see it clearly in every thought. With the mind free from all hindrance, means no mental hindrance. In the one reality, everything has become real. And all phenomena are just as they are. Illusional. Not what you think. Because this is the direct seeing from the true mind, or the essence of mind, when you really develop the stability or awareness. That's why the supreme vehicle teaching or cultivation is completely different. Way, way beyond the sainthood way. The sainthood way just have a glimpse of what that cessation is, and the mindfulness that they do are the normal mindfulness when thoughts cease to be. Understand now? Means before the knowing, before the angry of mind come in. So they just have a glimpse of what those things is on it, those moments. So because of that, Master Hongren asked Sun Xiu, to compose another kata, that Jack one take away. Never mind, you take away first. I want to read to MB first. After only you bring it out. Thank you. So Master Hongren asked Sun Xiu to compose another kata that demonstrate true understanding. Sun Xiu tried hard, but couldn't come up with another verse. So this is the meaning of the question that I was asking. That even people or cultivator like Sun Xiu, who is so close, where he did the mindfulness way of the Theravada tradition, he hasn't realized that true mind, that true nature, the essence of mind. And because of that, he is still stuck. That's why Hongren say, you have no idea of what that supreme essential nature is. So he asked Sun Xiu to go back and take his time to contemplate another kata so that it can demonstrate his true understanding. So this is really not easy. That's why my question is going to be, I try to ask you, why is it not easy? How come people like Sun Xiu still cannot realize that thing? Because by now, I think most of you all would have the understanding of the awareness nature and all that. But for those who have not got it and do it, it's not easy, right? Now maybe you can answer already. You can understand already.
Just based on my present level,
good enough. Afterward, Alicia also can answer. Yeah, he sent in a message just now. It's on the chief.
Yes. To me, Sun Xiu is still at a doorway because he hasn't stabilized.
Correct, the awareness nature.
Not stabilized and stabilized long enough to realize the
correct to
true
let
nature.
It be. To let that true
to
nature
let it
appear.
He may got a glimpse of it,
correct.
But it's not stabilized at all. And then another thing is, in the Zen Mahayana way, they usually the teacher, like Hongren Wu Zhu, he is trying very hard to shock him, shock this Sun Xiu.
Correct.
His immediate answer. Which he come up with the immediate answer.
Correct. Like Gong An, like that. But Sun Xiu, because
cannot,
too nervous. Those of us cannot respond.
Yeah,
then you try to use the thought to understand. That's why when
yeah.
you use your thought to understand, it cannot happen, right? You just have to silence. And then it will come out.
Yeah, I think his mind was blank, like he don't
Correct.
Know what
yeah,
to respond.
He was in a state of nervousness, shock. Yeah, he thought, don't know how to move already.
Yeah, so, Wu Zhu Hongren is being so compassionate, trying to
Correct.
Push him to the limit to
yeah.
get an immediate answer from him. Because,
Correct.
Like, just now in the front part, nah,
yes,
the wisdom is immediately come out.
Yeah,
like, even in the war, battle or war, you can have that type of quick response or direct seeing.
Yes,
direct
understanding.
Understanding. That's why like what Guangqing Lao Ho San or what? Say the
right.
The Zi Hui is when you are prompted, then you
yes.
know how to solve the thing, then that is Zi Hui.
Spontaneously you will know how to solve it. You will
yes.
know how to confront it, attend to it and resolve it. Because wisdom is like that one. No. Wisdom,
yes.
The person who has it, he also doesn't know, he or she. But when he encounters a situation, then he understands, no? He or she understands. Ah, na, just to wait. Gongxing Lao San, that verse was very good. There are people ask him, what is wisdom? He said, wisdom is very strange. When you develop the awakening, the wisdom, sometimes the cultivator also doesn't know that he has the wisdom. But the funny part is, he said, the former mind that realize it, when they encounter a situation, they know how to resolve it. They know how to attend it. And they understand. That is wisdom. So that part was so beautiful.
Yeah, that shows Shen Xiu hasn't got that direct seeing,
direct
wisdom. Direct wisdom
yet. Not stabilized the awareness. Stable enough yet.
Yeah. Okay, thank you, Rachel.
That awareness is very important. And I have been stressing that since the time I teach the awareness-based meditation to many Kayamita, you must stabilize the awareness nature. Otherwise, very difficult to go beyond the sainthood way. Very good, Sadhu. Anything else to add?
For the time being, that's all. Thank you. But
thank you. Then we go to Alicia.
Thank you. Good afternoon. You and all Kayamita. He hasn't realized his true nature.
That is the precise answer.
Yeah.
Okay, Alicia, very good. He hasn't realized his true nature. Correct. Three. Because if he has realized his true nature, he will know how to answer straight away. You see, this mundane mind is the one that is actually clouding and obscuring our nature. That's why when your mundane mind is active, you are heedless, you are lost in thought. Your whole nature, the essential nature or your true nature, your awareness nature, they are being obscured because you are with the thought. That's why I say man can only do one thing at a time. Either you are without thought, fully aware, or lost in thought means preoccupied with your thinking, your emotion, your activity. That's how meditation is to be understood. You can either be aware without thought or lost in thought. Only these two things. Because from that nature, thought manifests very fast. And living being's problem is you have to think a lot. Before you train your mind, before you know there's an awareness nature. That's why living being, he does think a lot. So that thinking is the one that actually prevents understanding. But don't blame thought, anasana. Because the user of thought is very important. If the user has the wisdom, then thought becomes right thought. Wholesome thought. Beautiful thought. But before you are enlightened, awakened, if you stop, chances are it's all tainted with delusion. It cannot be pure right thought. So understanding all this is very important. Okay, we come back to Alicia. Explain or share some more, Alicia.
Actually, Brother Joe, 以我的 understanding 啊哈，
啊啊，
肯定是因为我们如果要真正的修行，是因为要在我们的awareness 那边开始，
对，
要不然这个六祖的主要就是他是based on 那个他是顿悟的，他是直指人心的，就是
对，都是
讲自信，
一
直讲着自信，怎么样的去回归自信里面，
对对对，
悟到所有我们的我们所有的所谓的 thought 啊 aggregate of mind 怎样 arise 啊，都是在这边
对
转来转去，就是这几
样。That's why 他有三个 hallmark， 他教的时候 the three hallmarks of meaningMeditative understanding. 第一个是什么？
No thought.
无念的境界。That is what awareness-based meditation is. It's to realize the state of no thought. 无念的境界。Then stabilize it. That's why my first three support is relax body and mind. Then maintain awareness. Then stabilize the awareness.Awareness is before the thinking, before the perception, before the arising of thought. So you must stabilize that to realize the awareness nature which is without thought. So that 无念的境界 is exactly what you described. Because like you mentioned, Hui Ling's teaching is to take you direct to the silent mind, the true mind. Understand? That's why his awakening is 顿悟啊。Means realization from that nature, straight away you awaken one. Very beautiful. Sadhu, 很好。还有什么要 add on?
Brazil, 因为就好像你所说的要因为我们那个无念念头就是我们所谓的就是所有那个怎么样啊，所谓的业的来源，我们
对对对
造的业就是从念头开始。
Yeah.业的来源，
对，
业
的。我们还没有开悟的话，就是那个对，第一个念头就是不好的了。
Yeah, correct. So through the awareness, you will understand all this one. Without the wisdom, 真的不容易。你看神修的 example 就知道了。和尚哦，修到这么久哦 ，understand 了 ？Maybe I translate啊。For BG sake, BG not around. Sun Siu is a monk now. Cultivated so long already. Some of the chief disciples of Hong Ren, the fifth basic, not any other teacher. And yet he cannot understand. You see, this teaching is not easy to master. This teaching is not easy to understand or comprehend. So from all these examples,you will come to a very clear understanding why I like the six basic of Black Bomb Sutta. Liu Zhu Tan Jing is a very, very profound and beautiful sutta. So from here, you can awaken your truma, your nature, your understanding. Especially when you read Hui Ling's poem. Straight away, the answer should be there. But of course, too late for Sun Siu and another.By the time he read Hui Neng's counter poem, he already got it, I think. But too late. Because the six patriarchs, the robe and the insignia, has already been passed on to Hui Neng. So that is the reason why this six patriarch Black Bomb Sutta is so beautiful and so meaningful.And during the early days, actually, somehow, although I started off with the Theravada tradition, but when I heard about the Six Patriarch Sutta, in fact, I didn't get the book at that time, but I just heard about it, Liu Zhu Hui Neng. It activated my nature. Then the poem itself awakened me further, because I realize what that poem is. Straight away, I can actually explain it and understand it. Even Sun Tzu's poem, I also understand. That's why in my explanation and sharing to you all, what Sun Tzu did was, he followed the basic Theravada teaching of Sakyamuni. That's why Sakyamuni's teaching says, within this phantom length body, along with perception and thought, you should add in the word awareness, but not the stable one. I proclaim the world, the arising of the world, the cessation of the world, and the path that lead to the cessation. Basically, this is the Four Noble Truths, isn't it? True or not? That's why Sun Tzu, from here, he concludes his first stanza, Xin Ru Pu Ti Su. Sun Ru Pu Ti Su means, my body is like a Bodhi tree. What is a Bodhi tree? Tree of enlightenment, isn't it? Can make you enlightened, isn't it? So, earlier on, that Dhammapada verse or stanza that I quote to you, which the Buddha proclaimed about the origin of the world, the cause of the arising of the world, the cessation of the this is how he know the world, the cause of arising of the world, the cessation of the world, and the path that leads to the cessation of the world. Means along this phantom length body, along with perception and thought and awareness, I proclaim the world, the cause of the arising of the world, the cessation of the world, and the path that leads to the cessation. So this is what Sun Tzu meant. Your body is like a Bodhi tree. You're from this body, as taught by the Buddha, we have the four foundations of mindfulness within that. So the four foundations of mindfulness means mindfulness of kaya, the physical body, we have it. Then mindfulness of vedana, the feeling, which we also have it in our center length body. Then mindfulness of thought, which we also have it in our form and mind. Then mindfulness of Dhamma, which is truth, we also have it in our nature. Which means when we go through life, truth is everywhere. Nature's law, or they call it Dhamma, is everywhere in the midst of life and nature, even within our form and mind, phantom like body. So from there, if you meditate, you will realize the enlightenment. Means you will understand what life is, what existence is, then the cause of arising of suffering. Means within life there is suffering. And what suffering is, the cause of its arising, then the cessation and the path that leads to the cessation. And that's how one awakens and develops enlightenment. So his first stanza was correct, actually. Not bad. But second stanza, that one really KO'd him and caught him. So where he thought the mundane mind is a true mind, he already missed by very, very big margin. The second stanza, you go back to the stanza. Go back. Okay. Xin Ru Ming Jing Nai. He said the mind is like a mirror bright on a stand. This one caught him off. He completely missed the real true mind. So when he mentioned this, Ming Jing means the mind, which is the mirror bright on the stand. What is the mirror bright? Mirror reflects everything in it. So in your consciousness, whatever you see is reflected in the mind, isn't it? That's why we call it the thought projection. So he thought that is the true mind. And he thought he is the one holding on to that mind. That's why he completely confused. Then he thought the cultivation is avoid evil to good. So he don't want the unwholesome. He only want the wholesome. That's why he said, polish it until it shines so that no dust can alight. What is dust? Dust is defilement. you created the duality of defilement and you want to rub it off and polish it off until it shines, until the mindfulness becomes very bright, until no defilement can come about. That is delusion, isn't it? How can you cultivate with that type of understanding? If you do that, means what? You no need to live life already, no need to sleep every day, polish until it shines. Ever mindful, constantly meditative, which is heedfulness. But that is to develop wisdom to awaken now. If you whole day polish until it shines, no need to live life, then you are dead. So, that two minds to be realized. That's why it's the gate of the enlightenment. You cannot go in there, hold on to this mind. Once you do not hold on to this mind, what happens? On its own, the mundane mind persists, understand now. But because he has stabilized his mindfulness or his awareness to realize the awareness nature, next moment the thought arises again. So he thought that is the mind. That is the mundane mind. That is not the true mind. So to realize this is not easy. That's why I said, when people teach, if they don't have the understanding, it's not easy. In fact, the Theravada tradition is also not easy. To understand the Theravada tradition, you must understand what mindfulness is. That's why a lot of those who cultivate the Theravada tradition find it very difficult to penetrate the true understanding or the true awakening realization. It's not easy because they cannot understand what sati really is. And not only understand sati, you need to stabilize it all, to see clearly the two minds. That's why the Mahayana, they develop all this understanding and they come out with the teaching. You must start with mind. Sing wei gen ben. Your basis of cultivation should start with mind. Mind is your fundamental root of understanding. Sing wei gen ben. You cannot realize the two mind. You cannot start. And the other meaning of sing wei gen ben is understand that the mundane mind is the creator of everything. Like the Buddha said, mind is the forerunner of all things, mind is chief. When mind arises, everything arises, good and evil arise. So if you understand this, then you know how to cultivate, following Dhammapada verse 1 and 2. That's why Theravada tradition starts with the twin words, Dhammapada verse 1 and 2. Basic understanding of mind to take care of karma, to have right view. Then from there, the teaching continues until you finally realize the sainthood way, a glimpse of cessation, nibbana. Then continue until arahant. Even after arahant, you're supposed to go the supreme vehicle way and continue. But if you stop, then you cannot learn the bodhisattva way, where the cultivator of the way goes so much further. Not only to stabilize the awareness nature, no. After that, defect the gateway, and develop the cultivation from inside, you know, the transformation, everything. That's why the whole of the Supreme Vehicle Bodhisattva Way is so different, it's so expensive, and takes so long. One lifetime, how much can you learn? How much progress can you have? You don't have Buddhas, Bodhisattva, and great beings to guide you and teach you and guide you along. That's why I say cultivate affinity, blessings, and protection with all the great beings, especially the great beings that we have come to know. Kuan Yin Bodhisattva, Pu Xian Wen Su, and even Di Shang Wang, and a lot other great beings. Then all the Buddhas, you must seek their protection, guidance and blessing. Protection is for all form and mind. Blessings and guidance is very important. That is how we develop the understanding of the cultivation. Otherwise, it's not easy. Otherwise, it's very easy to get stuck or we should say your cultivation stagnate. Stagnate means you cannot move on. Because, like Shen Xiu, once he cannot break the understanding of what the true mind is, if nobody really taught him that, it's not easy. And for his case, we all know, the CPC actually taught him it, but he cannot get the hint now. So you think it's so easy. Yeah? Like now, I share with you, I teach you all the four support. All along, what do you think that four support is? You didn't see the beauty and the, what they call amazing understanding behind the four support, no? To penetrate that nature, no? To realize the awareness nature. No? The third one is the subsequent cultivation, no? After you have realized the sainthood way. And it's not easy. Because human being, like the Lotus Sutta mentioned, Miao Fa Lian Hua Jing, it's very difficult to teach them, no? Because they are still so like raw, so ignorant, no? So full of delusion, no? And the phenomenal world of consciousness to them is so real, no? So if you tell them not to use the thought, not to hold on to knowledge, they will tell you, oh, no, this is the hell with you. That's why the Buddha come out with provisional teaching, skillful means, expedient devices. It's initially to teach them to gain the understanding and the interest, then only to bring them in. And to bring them in, even the Lotus Sutta, the opening assembly, 5,000 of this sainthood way one walk out. Can you imagine? That's why it's not easy. This, the Buddha, Sama Sambuddha, and yet people just walk out. Right? So, cultivation, you really need the understanding. If you understand, like I said, very easy. It's like the flip over of the hand. Right? The palm is the awakening. You flip over, delusion really. So, when you understand, it just flip over. It's just like the Fifi-Fia Tosen Siu. He hinted to him. After hearing what he said, you should immediately awaken to that essential nature. But he can't, because that's the peculiarity of cultivation. When you don't have the causes and conditions, the parami, when it's not time yet, there is no way you can awaken. Even if the patriarch is in front of you, no use. Sometimes even the Buddha in front of you also do it. You cannot recognize. And you are too arrogant to listen. So, when it comes to cultivation, that's why develop what? Humility. Be humble. Have faith. Be sincere. Then persevere. Then all this will unfold. Okay? So, any question before we continue?
Hello, Gracio, Amitabha,
Amitabha,
Nibusio, and all kinds
of stuff.
Yeah, Gracio, to this topic is superly good, you know.
Very exceptionally good.
Exciting, exciting as well for
yes,
me
yes,
to
yes.
listen to the new way of Gracio explaining it, you know.
Yeah, this part I can go into more detail. Well, a lot of you all understand.
Yes,
and you will appreciate it a lot more.
Yes, yes.
I cannot know. That's why all the earlier Cameron Highlands retreat, I just read through. There hardly anybody at that time really understand. But now with the understanding, I go into detail. All the beautiful, what they call higher teaching, they span out so beautifully. And this Ming Canon version, I like it. They're so precise, so beautiful. Yeah, you continue.
Yes, okay. Well, dear, what I wanted to share is because you mentioned so many things, so I maybe start with the beginning first. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You see, so you talk about Theravada versus Mahayana, right?
Ah, yes.
For me, for some causes and conditions, I didn't really go into like those thought based meditation.
Yeah,
so,
because for you, you actually were lucky when you listen 2020 to my Heart Sutta sharing. You just follow precisely the what they call instruction, and what you do is awareness based. You didn't have to go through the thought based. That's why it saved you a lot of time. It cut short your journey, and you progress so fast. Even I myself, my nature also were full of joy, but yet surprised. How can somebody haven't met me or in person? No. And just develop the understanding and do on her own, and can get this kind of amazing result, you know? Especially locating the gateway and going in and developing all the transformation and the experience, you know? That one is very rare. In fact, you are the first one.
Yeah, but thank you, Brother Theo, you know, so grateful that I had that opportunity to learn from Brother Theo. So what I wanted to say is, you see, For me as a beginner dance, what is so important to me is just relax and do my in and out breath and mindfulness training of the mind.
Yeah, that one very
what I did, you know. Yeah, that's what I did, you know. And so the important thing that I realized for myself is the shift of consciousness.
Really
is so profound, and it's like a earth-shattering kind of experience, you know.
Correct.
So when you have that, you straight away can identify the true mind, you know.
Yeah.
Still call it the essence of the mind, true mind, the rising nature, the silent mind, you know, whatever name you give it. That is a very profound experience that, or realization, or awakening, that awakening that really has shattered everything, you know, brother.
Yeah,
you know?
That's why you like awaken. You suddenly realize, whoa, this is so beautiful. Because it's beyond thought, beyond mind, that nature. So beautiful. That's
all right. So I felt that in the Theravada tradition, if you do mindfulness without coming to this stage of understanding, right, so you cannot differentiate the so-called mundane mind and true mind.
Because, like you said, a glimpse of it,
you have not stabilized it and go into it and stay long enough in it, which is very shattering, you know, when you see that, you know.
Correct.
If you stay long enough, it's like mind-blowing, right, Theo, huh?
Mind-blowing,
shattering kind of awakening.
Completely a different understanding. Just that nature, once it shines for and become very clear, it's totally different from what the sainthood way people realize. They realize only a glimpse of it. And they don't really enter the nature. They have a glimpse of what that true mind is. The cessation, a glimpse of it. Then sometimes they go in the cessation longer, but they didn't locate the gateway to actually continue with the cultivation to transform the Bodhi nature, the Bodhi mind within, the true mind, the essential nature within. That one actually when it develop the transformative, what they call, the progress. A lot of things will happen. Once you locate the gateway, the external yin yang energy, they will melt it and develop the pure energy that do the internal movement and trans. And that one is a very long journey of cultivation, which we call it the Bodhisattva way, until finally that whole nature inside transformed and yet illuminated. And that is only the third stage of Bodhi mind development. But once you can hit the third stage, you are so advanced and so beautiful already. In fact, the beginning of the second stage already very good. Of course, first stage of Bodhi mind development is much easier. You set in the faith, sincerity, and determination, and understanding to aspire to go this way and plant the seed of Bodhi deep. Then from there, take the Bodhisattva vow, the four basic vow, then cultivate. So after the first stage of Bodhi mind development, then to complete the second stage, which is to have the ability to endure and severe all suffering, dukkha, that one also take a while. Where that one, you have to develop almost the complete understanding of what suffering is. Means you must develop wisdom to a high level of perfection. Means your parami of kanti, they call it patient endurance. Means you must be able to endure all conditions. Whatever suffering that arise, you can endure them. So that part is very important. So the perfection that kanti parami and also renunciation, nikama, renunciation. When you can endure with patience, endurance, via wisdom, then you can renounce all things. Everything that arises within the existential world, you can renounce them. So that perfectional renunciation is like perfectional wisdom. When you develop the wisdom to that perfection, you can renounce all things. That's why the Buddha Sakyamuni at that time, as a Bodhisattva, he was tested. He has to renounce his kingdom. He has to renounce his wife and children under many phases of the Jataka story that he actually shared with the disciple at that time. So renunciation, nikkama, yes, is equally important. It is after you have developed the wisdom, then you have perfected renunciation. Initially, it's of course kanti, patient endurance. You have to have a lot of patience to encounter a lot of things. Then you can renounce. So these two parameters, they also go hand in hand. Okay, Pocheng, let you continue. Sorry to interrupt.
Oh, but no interruption at all.
Okay.
So, Brother Teo talk about the Bodhi mind development. Yeah, but before we go over that, I just want to say something about what Brother Teo said earlier on about the Sainthood way, Bodhisattva way. So from the Lotus Sutra that Brother Teo shared, how some of Buddha's disciples is even his is so called the first disciple of Buddha,
Sariputra.
So for Sariputra, he actually went through the sainthood ways before changed to
switch over to the supreme vehicle way.
And
he was told about that long, long ago. But he forgot in between.
Yeah.
Brother,
this is an interesting twist that I kind of understand from that sutra, Lotus Sutra. Forgotten about his
Bodhisattva
vows, you know, that he wants to follow the Bodhisattva path. He come back to sainthood way before he joined back, you know. That is a kind of funny twist that I understand, you know, from the sutra itself. So if that had happened to Sariputra, who is foremost in wisdom, so it can happen to any calculator as well.
I taught you all this yellow card on is to prevent that thing from happening. Means you are this dana life after life, you know, whenever you choose to come or you have to come, you must have this understanding. And that will prevent you from forgetting all this. Understand?
Yes.
That's why the yellow card.
You clarify this because I also wanted to check how come the Sariputra being the foremost in wisdom, close disciple of Buddha, can make this kind of Gosan, you know, Gosan here, then Gosan.
It's not Gosan. Like I explained, Pocheng, it's during the non-sasana. When sasana is no more there, you really can get lost on it. Even as a bodhisattva, you forgot what happened on. Because no more condition, that's not. That you don't have that special vow to retain all this in your bohi mind, then it cannot activate, that's not. This, every non-sasana is really take you to don't know how many rounds of Holland. Then you lost your way and forgot. Then it took you a long, long time before you can come back. You remember my hint to you all or not? I said, this is the golden window. You remember not? If you miss this and don't do the proper bodhisattva vow, when you miss this window, you know I mentioned how long. It will take you a long, long, long time before you have another window like that again. Means you have to go through a lot of world cycle. Then you have to wait till the future sasana. And all this sasana compared to the existential time is so minute. Even our recent Sakyamuni Buddha, suppose you, one of the longest sasana, meant to be 5,000 years, he has not admitted the, what they call the nun's order, or theory's order. But even if they have admitted the theory's order or the nun's order, the sasana will be shortened by 500 years. So 5,000 minus 500 is 4,500. 4,500 years is supposed to be one of the longest sasana around for most Sammasambuddha. And yet, compared to the aeons and aeons and aeons of time, what is 4,500? It's like a very minute, small, relative time, relatively, it's so short, compared to the aeons. So, how can you remember anything? By that time you come back and hit the sasana again, of course your parami all will come back to you, understand? Then, because of the sasana, you may recall what you learned. And most of this is, during the sasana, what Sakyamuni teaches is a provisional teaching first, understand? So they recall the provisional teaching. So now you see. So once you recall the provisional teaching, then towards the end only, you are reminded of the profound teaching. That's why you cannot blame Sakyamuni for telling Sariputta, actually long, long, long ago, I already told you this. That's not. Taught you this. And you, that time, very, very determined. Even through the night, without sleep, you follow, you continue, and you develop the faith, and you make all the vows. And all the dhikkhana or aspiration, everything. And yet, you can forget. So, this is possible because my nature realized, once the sasana no more, whatever being you may be, if you don't have this type of understanding to make this type of bodhisattva vow, when the non-sasana comes, you will get lost for very long. That's the reason why 208, Maitreya Bodhisattva or Maitreya Buddha, he requested my nature to share this. So there are two aspects of his message. The zhenfa, the true dharma, is one is the clear teaching connecting Theravada and Mahayana. Then second one is how not to get lost during non-sasana. We are following this bodhisattva way that my nature has been following for very long. Otherwise, not easy. So, with this, hopefully, it will add to your understanding. Puching, now you can continue about Sariputta's case.
Roger, it's very beautiful that you remind us and remind me to really take the vow, life after life. Forget this,
That one is very important. Because during non-sasana, you don't make those vow, you will get lost on. You have to make them.
So it's during the non-sasana that. But with this vow, life after life, we will not get lost even in non-sasana period.
Yes,
so
yes.
That is very wonderful for us to understand and enlightening, you know, that we will not get lost despite the non-sasana period.
Correct, correct.
That's
why I put here, taking of the Bodhisattva vow. Making of special aspiration to walk the Bodhisattva way. Then I put that. By the power of whatever blessings and wholesomeness that this nature of mind had cultivated from the distant past until now, may arise the causes and conditions for this nature of mind to have the following Dhamma understanding, life after life, whenever it chooses to come or have to come in the form of a forming mind. So once you make this vow, you will have the understanding that you will connect, especially the third aspect. The first one is right view with regards to law of karma, law of paticca-samuppada or dependent origin, and for number two, there is a theory of realization. Then the two aspects of the five aggregates of forming mind, this one is also Theravada tradition, but beyond the Theravada tradition's understanding, just this understanding of the two aspects of the five aggregates of form and mind, Theravada has like very limited understanding. But the one that I share with you all on is more towards the higher teaching one. Then after that is of course all the chanting, Rupang, Anichang, all those things, to penetrate the five aggregates. Then third one is the most important one. Having developed the above right view, this nature of mind vow to always keep the three set of pure precepts. What are these pure precepts? Pure precepts of the Bodhisattva means we are following the advice of all Sammasambuddha. So here, the advice of Sammasambuddha is just basic. But what I add here is a addition to what the normally Theravada tradition's explanation. This precept of pure precept is a lot more deeper in understanding than the normally understood advice of the Buddha. I read to you, then you'll understand. First one is to avoid all evil and understand clearly what constitutes evil, means the three evil roots of greed, hatred and delusion are evil. So this one is the add-on. The second one also very important is that of cultivating wholesomeness. I say to cultivate all virtue and blessing leading to the perfection of them all. This is the Bodhisattva way, understand? The 10 perfection. Then the last one is the third one, to cultivate wisdom to help liberate and take across all sentient beings. Jin Hao got it. So that one is very important. Jin Hao will bring it for you to see. The next page. Making of special inspiration to walk the Bodhisattva way. This is on the first page. Then I say you silang all your causes and conditions and your worries. Then you atitan. Means whatever wholesomeness, blessing, and understanding that you have cultivated from the distant past until now, may arise the causes and conditions for this nature of mind to have the following right Dhamma understanding, life after life, whenever it chooses to come or has to come in the form of a forming mind. So the first three, right view regards to karma, karma niyama, right view regards to dependent origination or the dwelling, Chitta Niyama, and the four number two, Dhamma Niyama. All these are in the Theravada tradition, but you have to have them retained even during non-sasana. Then the next one is, every time you come, you must understand the two aspects of the five aggregates of form and mind clearly via the direct seeing to realize that they are all conditioned arising entity, cause of phenomena is impermanent, leading to suffering, not me, non-self, and empty. That this so-called living being, this part very important, the five degree of phenomena is just a chemically conditioned vehicle and tool for me to come to this existential world. to develop the cultivation and experience all of the beauty and wonders of life. So use it with wisdom to arise the right thought, right speech, and right action, to be a blessing to all and not to be deluded by it. To constantly respond with understanding the following profound Dhamma. So we will skip through, Rupang, Anicjang, etc. And the third one is the one I want you all to vow. Having developed the above right view, this nature of my vow, to always keep the following three sets of pure precepts. These are pure precepts of a Bodhisattva, following the advice of all Samasa Buddha. So this is the advancement of the sainthood way. First is to avoid all evil and to understand clearly what constitutes evil, the three evil roots of greed, hatred and delusion. Then to cultivate all virtue and blessings leading to the perfection of them. And this is the cultivation of the 10 perfection. Then the third one, to cultivate wisdom to help liberate and take across all beings. This is the Bodhisattva vow. That's why once you make this, you will not lose the way. You will not like forgot and go the same way and finish off. So this last one is the one to cultivate all wisdom to help liberate and take across all sentient beings. Instead of only purify your mind and liberate anasana. You have to put in this understanding so that life after life you come, you have this preset of pure precepts that you will do. But these are the precepts. You, on top of the four basic vows, these are the precepts that you will hold as a bodhisattva, life after life whenever you arise. So these are the cultivation you will do. You will cultivate all virtue and blessing, leading to the perfection of them all, like the 10 perfection. Then you will cultivate wisdom to help liberate and take across all beings. This is the Bodhisattva vow. So all these are the important understanding that cultivator of the way can develop to prevent you from losing the supreme vehicle way during non-sasana. Okay? Then it will make you beautiful, but after that, whenever you come, choose to come or have to come, all this understanding is in you, and you can manifest it. That's why my nature has this beautiful understanding when it comes. Like I told you all, I didn't do anything. I just echo and flow and fulfill what I have to do, my vows and my whatever. So all this understanding is what Maitreya wanted my nature to share. And all this, when I received it in 2008, I couldn't do much until the website come out. Until the condition for the Bodhisattva way surfaced. That's why it happened in 2016, whatever. When many Kayamita requested for the Bodhisattva way. So the first vow I fulfill after 2008 is the Theravada tradition connecting to the Mahayana tradition teaching. That one I did through the Heart Sutta. And after that, after the Heart Sutta, suddenly the causes and conditions arise for me to actually share the Bodhisattva way without the request, and the website also was born. So all this is like meant to be. That's why you are we. Okay? Hopefully this one will give more faith and understanding to Kayamita. And a lot of Kayamita who has progressed, these are the kind of understanding that you need. So that later on, when your time comes to share, you will also evolve your own understanding plus what you have learned from others. Okay? Putin, you can continue.
Thank you, Ratio, for the detailed explanation. The other thing I want to share is about what Brother Theo mentioned, which kind of struck me in that sense, that because in my cultivation, I also noticed that the true mind is always there, you know, in the background. So yes. When you say Zhenxiu is trapped in the mundane mind and didn't enter into the enlightenment gate or the pure awareness, the true mind, that that kind of like struck me very hard in the sense that because last week I went for my holiday, you know. Maybe I want to talk about this also, how I connect to that. You see, the true mind is always there. And yet we are obscured by the mundane mind, you know, in our thinking process. So our true mind is hidden beneath, you know, underneath.
Yeah, yeah. Cannot shine forth.
Yeah, it's always there. So this sense is trapped in the mundane mind. So the true mind never surfaced for him because he was always very mindful, trying to get rid of the defilements, the duality.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, like, precisely, like, the other words that Brother Theo say also strike me very hard. How do you live life if you do that all
yeah.
the time?
You cannot live
life. Yeah, you cannot live life. You cannot live life.
Because you are cultivating all the time.
Yes, yes, yes. You are so busy pushing away, pushing away, pushing away. You know?
And the
so
duality, the
yes.
duality that Zhenxiu create, he doesn't understand that this duality come in a pair. And they are all both delusion. Because, like the Buddha say, imas means sati, idang hoti. When you create this, that arise. Means when you create defilement, which you want to do away with, then the opposite, wholesome, will be there. That's why he is trapped in wholesome. Then he worried about the defilement. He tried to push it away. You can't. Because this is your own creation through the thought. That's why Krishnamurti very wise. He said, thought divide. True one. Two words. Good and bad. Pure and unpure. Wholesome and defilement. Wholesome state and defilement. So all these are duality created by thought. And they are reality. You have to transcend duality. Means you must transcend the worldly condition and also the yin and yang, the opposite, which is the teaching of Lao Tzu, the Tao. So all this understanding was surfaced, and the Buddha under the Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta, he actually, in the opening sutta, mentioned, avoid the two extremes, is it? So the first aspect of the extreme is because it's a provisional teaching for the Theravada tradition, is it avoid sensual indulgence and self-mortification. And that is the first one. But the second one, if you cultivate further, the avoiding of the two extremes is for you to develop the wisdom to transcend duality. Transcending duality is to realize the truth, to be at peace with all things. There's the third level of seeing, according to Maya Sutta. Kan san, yu su san. That is such a seeing like what we went through in the previous Sutta class. Kan san, yu su san. That is such a seeing. Means no right, no wrong. According to the causes and conditions, you accord and flow with nature's condition. So all these understanding are very beautiful, and it can lead to actually very profound transformation in understanding. The other thing that I want to share with you all is, you open up the Heart Sutta book, our printing, for free distribution to non-Muslim only, at the bottom there. No, cover page. The first page. The first, next page. The bottom there. Okay. See? Kayamita funds, donated by Kayamita Power by Theo, So okay, I'm able to partake. Then first edition is when 19 February 2015, before the Bodhisattva Way come out. You realize, huh? Bodhisattva Way come out 2016. So this one is the result of after 2008, I was invited to various places to give talk. Then finally 2012, I think, I was invited to Wu Ping Jingshe, where Miss Lee invited me there, and we shared the Heart Sutta and a few other sutta. So it was during this time that we finished the Heart Sutta, and it took us 15 months. And after that, causes and conditions arise for us to compile into a book. That's why that time I knew my task for the first request of my travel already fulfilled. Means the Zhenfa or the true Dhamma understanding of the Theravada tradition linking the Mahayana tradition. Then second edition is 8 March 2020, which is about 5 years later. And this one come about is because we realized the format was not so easy for people to understand. So we added in quite a few things. You turn to the next page where you see all the table of contents, the subheading, all these were added. Just before that, there were no subheading. Then you go on to first edition, I explain, see? Since 2012, January, Miss Lee had India 2012 invited me to visit Wu Ping Jingshe Vihara. And it was during this visit that Sister Lee had requested Bhatia to conduct his weekly Heart Sutta come meditation class at Wu Ping Jingshe Vihara. So the first Heart Sutta come meditation class commenced on the 12th of February 2012 and it continued until 19 May 2013 for a period of 15 months. This was then followed by the weekly Satipatthana Sutta come meditation class. Initially, short notes were taken by Miss Lee and forwarded to me for editing. Before using it for sharing it at the next Heart Sutta come meditation session. And this was how the Heart Sutta come meditation class short note comes about. Many Kayapita who attended the classes have found the short note very useful and beneficial. Hence the reason why they had suggested that it be compiled into a book so that it can also benefit others who have the affinity to receive them. These short notes can also help those of the Theravada tradition to have a better understanding of the Heart Sutta teaching of the Mahayana tradition. Because Bhatia had managed to link the two teachings, the Heart Sutta teaching to all the various essential Dhamma of the Buddha as recorded in the Theravada tradition, so that the Dhamma practitioner and cultivator can have a much better understanding of both traditions' teaching and see clearly how they are related to each other. Then Bhatia had also managed to link and explain clearly how all the essential Dhamma of the Buddha is recorded in the Theravada tradition comes about and how they are connected to each other, thereby making it much easier to understand. In fact, the essence of the Buddha's teaching is just the Four Noble Truths, and all the other teachings, the essential Dhamma, are spin-off from it. It has also been a sincere intention in which that Dhamma friends, spiritual practitioners, seeker of truth and cultivator, will be able to make use of this enclosed Heart Sutta come meditation class short note to develop a better and clearer understanding of the Dhamma as taught by the Buddha, so that they may progress along the path of Dhamma to become more wiser, virtuous, living being that can be a blessing to all. Then as these short notes were mostly only important pointers as prepared by Sister Lee for my editing. As such, it may not be as complete as compared to a recorded talk. Hence, it is hoped that reader who wants to benefit more will listen to a recording so as to have a clearer and more complete understanding of what has been shared. But this recording actually very long, we are 15 months, so you don't have the time, no need to go there. You read the Heart Sutta, meditate, and you can understand. Then the detail for you to manage to locate the website. Then we go to second edition. This is the one I want to share. The reason for the second edition was promoted earlier to coincide with the need of a second reprint of this Heart Sutta book. Well, our first reprint finished already. In doing so, we have included the following activity to help improve the readability of this book. Correct whatever printing error, spelling and grammar mistake detected in the first edition. And since the first edition specs is aligned to the colloquial speeches in the talk, some editorial amendment has been made to the text without distracting from the essence of the talk. And then useful subheading, this is the one, has been added to all the Heart Sutta classes listed in the table of content to help readers look for the topic that interests them more. And this one is the most important. Then I added Appendix A, explanation of Avijja Sutta, Sutta on Ignorance was added. Yeah, this one come about after I did the website, 2016. Then Appendix 6A, I also added the Trinity Triangle, which I teach you all during the retreat. So this one is very important. The Trinity Triangle to understand cultivation has been added. This one is from the pure awareness. You go left, you develop the direct seeing. You go right, you cultivate the normal mundane living. Then how from the left you develop wisdom, which is Yoniso Manasikara, connected to your former mind. That one enables you to live like the base, the bottom base of the triangle. So all these are useful additions. That's all. Okay. Sorry to interrupt just now. Now you can continue. So today I think it's very useful, very beautiful. It covers a lot of things that we're supposed to understand and share. So hopefully with all this, you all can understand how all this become possible and how we have evolved and how in the early day you all cannot see all these things that is being actually prepared for you all can properly added and planned. So once there is causes and conditions for me to explain, I will explain. Then you check back, you will realize all these were actually there. But like I said, you need to wait for causes and conditions, the timing. Nevertheless, it has been a great journey for us all, Kanyamita. And my nature really rejoices and thank you to all who has make this possible, especially those community members and those who are very close and helping my nature to develop all this. A very big sadhu to all. Sadhu. Okay, putting back to you.
Yeah, Mahasadhu Bhatio for fulfilling your first vow with material Buddha. And hopefully, I think the Bodhisattva world also gratitude, you know, because you actually help us to develop the vow and
I already formatted it in the year 2016. When Padmasri asked me to put it into a yellow card. Then he came back to me and said, hey, but you're exactly one card. No? We fold it up, then everything is there. Oh, I said, that is good.
Yeah, so with that Bodhisattva vows, right, I think personally, I benefited a lot as well. You know, I think without the guidance of the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas and Mahasattvas of the 10 directions, I doubt I can actually overcome a lot of karmic tests that I had in Nobel. So
correct.
Because of this understanding, I mean, of course, the 正法, first of all, I know how to do my awareness-based meditation, and then followed by the Bodhisattva Vows. Actually,
yeah,
it helped me overcome a lot of my karmic questioning and obstacles, you know, gradual.
Right.
And without getting hurt, you know, or whatever, like, or die or whatever, you know, that happens to the fragile body as well.
Yes. Yeah,
so yeah. In that sense, I think gradual or sadhu to you, Maha Sadhu, that you actually fulfilled the request from Maitreya Buddha, you know, gradual.
Yeah.
I mean, the numbers may not be a lot, but at least there are paramitas that benefited and gradually fulfilled, you know,
Because at that time, when Maitreya made the request, it was really full of joy, and my nature really, inside, said very clearly to Maitreya, you are the Samasa Buddha, you no need to be somewhat courteous. So respectful. He used the word, qing ni, you know what is the meaning or not, imagine. He invite me to come out and share the true dharma. Qing ni ba zheng fa quan xia qi. Repeated 5 times in golden letter. All floating out from his mouth. Oh, really golden letter, calligraphy. And very loud. Repeated 5 times. And that time, 2008, when I immediately arise from there, I knew this is my destiny, my nature's destiny, and I have to do it. And really, everything fall into place. So I didn't really put in any extra effort. For me, it's the condition do or no condition, that's it. But then everything is surface, you know, the causes and conditions. Then if you really look back, it's amazing that over just 20 years or even, all this can happen. And all this is going to help a lot of cultivators all the way, especially Kayamita and all those that have the affinity. Then you look back into all these things that actually arise, especially the Heart Sutta, the Yellow Card, and our website. It's really amazing. To me, it's really amazing. Because I never knew all this teaching can actually be received by living beings. So it's not easy. Because like I said in 1989, when I realized I didn't want to come out and teach, I didn't do anything. My manager just said, just let things be. How can anybody understand? That's why 1989 until 2004, I didn't do anything. But of course, when I say I didn't do anything, I was at home. And most of the time, developing the joy and understanding and the contemplative wisdom. And live life beautifully, live life since 2004. That's why I knew all the three phases of Dhamma. The third phase is the most rewarding and most beautiful. And how all this can really come to be. Then all the unfolding after 2004 also like meant to be. So I don't know whether Kayamita can recall that. I used to share in the early years, I think with the first special, so, I said, if one day you all can understand my this segmented life coming, you can really see the biodata, you call it biodata, my life history. Is it a biodata? It's not biodata, what you call? But,
biography, I think.
It's about my life, about my this segmented life. You will get a shock of your life. Got people with such condition or not, and everything just fall into place so beautifully. You cannot find anything. If I hinted to my Dr. Khmer Sanon. I say, one day you write my biography. It will be a very good book. So, but don't go and waste time. You are too long to write. That biography is too long. I actually reflected that one time. But really too long. In fact, out from my birth until 1989, already long enough. Already amazing enough. All those happening. And that part, I think I didn't really share with much people. Except maybe my wife, they all know a bit. The rest, they don't know. But after 2004, that one, I share a lot with you. I think most Karamita understand what we went through. But before that, hardly anybody. But don't worry, this is just because of causes and conditions. We have this window to actually develop the understanding. Then my nature want to share this so that you can understand that all these are possible when you are in the spiritual field. That's why the faith in the Bodhisattva way, I want you all to develop it. Because if my nature can do this, even for this segmented life, means there are a lot of other possibilities for all those going this way. And this is really amazingly testimony of what the way can be and how beautiful that way of the Bodhisattva can be. When you really have the cultivation and the understanding to come, all these are possible. Okay?
Yeah, Brad, you are speaking of this, that looking at Brad's history and biography, right, there are so much possibility that can unfold for even Chayamsa to walk this way.
Yeah.
The other thing is, you see, Brad, you always say that we always gong gong jia, gong gong tua, gong gong, right?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
We have been living this life for eons of life. Why can't we live eons of life in the future to walk the Bodhisattva way, you know?
Yeah.
Which is a lot more better than gong
gong. That is the understanding that my nature wants you all to understand, that this is possible. That's why do not, what they call have doubt. Develop the faith, and if this is what you want, go all out. And every life of your future coming will become different. And later on, as you progress, you become very, very beautiful, exceptionally beautiful. And this can be your future destiny too. And you all can really progress and develop the understanding to become great beings too in the future. And many of you will really achieve what you actually aspire for. So the possibility is that what you need is your faith, your sincerity, and your perseverance to go all out. And this window, with all the good understanding, you better do what you have to do. I use the word like a poker player, silang everything. You aditan. You really plant your seed of bohi, the bohi mind, deep in your nature. Aditan until it's really firm. So very good, Sadhu.
Brazil, since we have spent eons of time lost in this samsaric world, so why not you have faith and sincerity and perseverance to walk this Bodhisattva way, which is better and not get lost, you know, and we can keep on improving, you know. A good example is Brother Teo.
Very true,
So, like Chan, we just have no hesitation and doubt about it, you know.
That
is what I want to say about
this
Bodhisattva path
that
Brother Teo talk about, you know.
And Mahasadhu, Brother Teo, for achieving your so-called vows to Maitreya Buddha request or invitation, and also
I
to all Chayamsa for making it happen, all the so-called effort, support, you know,
to have all these books, you know, Sutra, book right, and the six five track platform sutra, and also the Bodhisattva way. All the books is I mean, they are a gem for us, you know, especially people that come later don't get to participate in the class or join the class, listen to the actual class itself. So people that come later benefited so much as well, you know, although we did not attend the classes. So it's really Mahasadhu to all of them, you know, and Sailang all their wholesomeness and merit arise the causes and condition for themselves to
go this way,
you know, to learn the true Dharma, the Supreme Weaker Buddha Dharma, you know, this life and every life that they choose to come or have to come, you know.
Yes.
So I and it will be beautiful as well and the wonderful, if not the same as Brazil, but at least it's getting better and better, bright to brightness, you know, like darkness to brightness as well.
You all progress and become very beautiful.
I mean, without doubt, you know, with sincerity, faith and perseverance, we can walk this path, you know.
Yeah,
I mean, at least for me, even though it's short period, I can personally experience, you know, my own suffering and how I come out of the suffering through this Bodhisattva vows, you know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I mean, I do not know what I've done in the past, but I feel, huh?
Don't,
I mean,
don't
not
worry
just
about
this
the
life,
past.
You know,
the past already gone. Forget about it. But the moment is the very important understanding from this moment.
Sorry, Brazil, I couldn't hear you, you know, something wrong with my...
Okay, I repeat. I say, forget about the past, because the past is already gone. Means whatever coming thing or what, never mind. Let it be, because there is the condition behind. What is more important is from now onward, the present moment onward. If you really aditan, strive on with heedfulness and develop all this understanding and cultivation, you know what will happen or not. Like we used to say, all this not only can become possible, it's no more a fairy tale. In the word of BGA last time always say, we thought all this can never happen, even happen also like fairy tale. But then when you are in the spiritual field, in the cultivation, you realize they are even more fantastic than fairy tale. Fairy tale also cannot take it to that level, to that perfection, to that perfect causes and conditions to unfold. Like I used to say, even let you plan your life, you can never plan it until your life can be so beautiful as what I went through. I myself admit, I reflect that. I say, even if nature has allowed me the power to plan my life, I cannot plan it so well. Do you understand what I say? Do you understand what I say?
Yes, but you understand what you
say. If nature allow you to plan your life, can you plan your life better than what you are going through? Maybe for you all can, now you know the thing already. But for me, I really look back, all this come about because of my understanding from my cultivation. And it will unfold. That's why I cannot, even given the power to plan, I cannot plan it so well. But these are the understanding that bring about all this. And it just unfold. So this is the part which a lot of cultivators, the way you will finally understand. You are in the spiritual field. Everything is possible. Nothing is impossible. And like the Heart Sutra, Zen Kong Miao Yu. When you realize true emptiness, when you have to understand, life is really wonderful and amazingly wonderful. Miao, you know what the word, wonderful. And existence can be so beautiful. Even though it's what we call within the existential world, not so real, not what we think. But there is such thing as life, existence. And if you really have the wisdom and the understanding, you can really have that life is so amazingly beautiful. You can come and experience all of the pristine beauty and wonders of life's creation. And every segment of that life that comes can be so beautiful, can be so wonderful and amazingly beautiful. So all this is the understanding. So have faith, and strive on with peacefulness to realize whatever vows or aditan that you have made. And all these are possible. It's no longer what it used to be. You know, a lot of you, before you had this understanding, like I remember a lot of Dhammita used to tell me, over there, our nature not like you are, we can't, or we say good way, or so, jabilia, or you happy already. But now, you look back, it's so different, isn't it? You look back, you realize what is the sainthood way. It's actually relatively very, very much easier or simpler. And the tool, Bodhisattva way, is full of amazing things and possibilities. So this is what Dhamma is all about, when you have the causes and conditions to understand them and to develop the progress. So once again, we should all rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu.
Sadhu, sadhu.
Okay. Anybody want to add, just come in. Another 10 minutes or
Good evening, Brother Teo, Mrs. Teo, and all Dhammitas. Something to share about my mother. Okay. Recently, my mother and I were practicing Qigong, is it? Qigong. Alright.
Okay.
So it was told that after the practice the Qigong, we'll do 10 minutes of meditation. So after the third day, I told my mother, I said that, you know, are you aware about your breathing? And then if you're able to aware the breathing, later on you'll come to a stage whereby you will maybe hurt your heartbeat, isn't it?
Yeah.
I told her in the morning, because we did it twice, morning and evening. In the evening, after the meditation, she said, hey, she hurt her breathing, isn't
she? She can feel her
breathing
heartbeat.
I was like, wow, so fast. And then later on, today, she told me, she said that, you know, when she meditated the time, because she was, her leg, she cannot cross her leg, you see.
Never mind,
she only, sit on the chair,
you see,
and she didn't lie on the back, you see. But she said, somehow rather, she said, when she relaxed, you see, suddenly, there's a tendency of like going down, you see. Going down, and then her hand, both hands is like opening up, you see. So I told her, if it's like that, you can do
let
the
it happen. Lying down and let it happen.
I say you can just straight away lie down.
Let it happen.
Yeah.
Follow what the nature wants.
That's why I say, don't worry, just let it happen. And she has this tendency to say that, she say she actually very fast can go into relaxation.
Very good.
Fast.
That is from her past.
Yeah, very fast. But the thing is like, she afraid to do it alone because she don't know what
we have the thought in the fear.
That's right. I told her that, I said, there might be time.
No, you just tell her this one, it will have her. You say, the thought is not you. The thought is just a very limited, small aspect of our true mind. Our true mind is beyond thought, beyond mind. So when thought ceases, that awareness nature, that zen, what zen lian or what?
Awareness.
That nature without word one is that one was the base. And that is your true mind. Stay with that devil. Then after that, devil to attend the retreat. She will understand a lot of things.
The thing is that because she don't know English.
No need to know English.
And what amazed me was that, you know, I told her that when you go to sleep the time, you see, the difference between the awareness and non-awareness is like, sometimes you may heard your snoring.
Yeah, yeah,
and she said she heard it long time ago.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I was like, wow.
Yeah, I mean she has a bath.
Yeah.
She can hear her own snoring, means she has awareness in KOBD.
Yeah. So I slowly talked to her about and said that you know our life is just it's not a permanent thing, it's like a car, see? So I mean when time comes it will go on and all this kind of thing. She said, yeah, it's like clothes,
yeah.
She said she can reflect it, and yeah. Then so I was really amazed that, you know, my mother actually, you know, she took so short, you know,
yeah,
to realize all these things where her son took so long, is it?
It's not to say the son took so long. The son's thinking is too complex, too complicated, a lot of knowledge conditioning. Yeah, your mother being simple and have her past, she just listen to instruction and do it. That's why you can develop it faster than you. Because a clean slate, not complicated, learn very fast. It's like something to absorb, a sponge. Yeah. The sponge, if it's still without water, whatever you speak to them or taught them, teach them, they listen, it's like sponge, it just sucks in. Then, when they get the right instruction, they will develop the progress. And this is a very natural, that's why I say, knowledge bind. Too much knowledge actually indirectly bind a person and prevent them from learning because they thought they know already. And they don't want to change. They don't want to investigate. They don't want to find. Just to them, that knowledge prevent them. See? My teacher teach different. The monk say different. The book say different. Why is this guy telling me all this? So that thinking activity prevents. Where that one arise through knowledge. That one is the one that actually prevents understand.
Yeah. Really, Sadhu to Brazil, because of this, I'm able to share to my mother,
yeah, yeah,
about, you know, to let her know about, you know, awareness meditation,
yeah, yeah,
and my taste. And I'm really surprised because I brought her to the Vipassana meditation, see? And until the fourth day, they will do those kind of like thought based. And surprisingly, see, my mother will just go back to the Anapana.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
It is good.
Yeah, that's right. And I'm coming this April. My sister and my mother and I, we will attend the Vipassana again.
Mm.
So I think this time should be, you know, very different.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So really, Mahasadhu to Pratio, sharing this kind of like precious Dhamma to all of us, you see.
Mm.
And I'm glad that the committee and I, we have the opportunity to help Brazil to do all this kind of like Dhamma work, you see.
Yeah,
yeah, right. And it's all the very collective work from all of us, you see.
Let us rejoice that. So another 5 more minutes. Anybody? Who else? Oh, you don't like somebody.
Brazil.
Ah, yeah. TV, yes.
I have joy. I don't know when just now you was mentioning that Chin Hao's mother, right? The condition. When you mentioned
Chin Hao's mother.
The thought is not you.
Yeah, the thought is not you. That was very important.
Yeah. Wow, that one strike my heart, just now.
Wow, Sadhu.
Suddenly, yeah. That's why I thought, I want to share out.
Very good. You know why it can awaken the mother or not? Because the mother told Jin Hao she did not meditate alone because she's scared. So who is scared? The thought is scared. Because to them, without thought, if something happened in the meditation, they like die. And the thought refused to die. That day who mentioned already, I don't want to die.
Brother Song.
Because the thought is so egoic, you think he want to die. He will never want to die, understand? So, if you are in the thought process, you ask the thought to cease. It means you asking him to die, you know, understand? He will not die, you know. So, what I use is like a gong an, which her mother is very simple. Just tell her,
the thought is not you, and she will awaken. So, since you need this style of awakening, the mundane mind is not you.
But still,
yeah.
I was awakened.
Wow, sadhu.
I want to share because, how to say? I was talking about the peeling of the skin of the dagong, right? The corner.
That night you share, yeah.
Yeah. Now only I come kind of realize
that
at that moment is totally without thought, one thing.
Yeah.
So, and then the skin is quite translucent. I can see the fibers of the corn inside.
Yeah.
So I do it nicely, slowly. Now just now when you say, the thought is not you.
So the mundane mind is also not you. You will awaken.
There's no mundane mind, right?
Yeah, because when you are in that state, there is no mundane mind. That's why you will awaken.
I was linking it to the perception, right? Remember?
Correct, the pure perception, at that moment when you are in it,
The previous perception of just throwing away the skin, the fiber,
right.
And the different perception when I do it carefully,
with that true mind, the silent mind.
Yes. Then with this word, you say the thought is not you.
So you will awaken.
Not me. The perception is not me.
Yeah.
The perception is not me.
That's not me. Because there is an aggregate.
Yeah, it's just the way it is.
Yes, sadhu. See things as they are.
Yes.
No word, nothing.
And then like you say just now, the hand turned this way is a delusion.
Correct.
Then the other way is no delusion. There's
no delusion.
No perception, I should say.
Yeah.
It's the way it is.
It's just the understanding that flip over. That's why the fifth paragraph told Sanxiu, after hearing what I say to you, you should immediately realize your essential nature. That is to awaken Sanxiu. But too bad, Sanxiu was not in that condition to receive it. Very good, Sadhu.
It really like because during that moment I don't know that perception is like just perceive. But now when you say the thought is not me, it's not you.
Not you.
And link it together, the perception is not me also.
Yeah, definitely.
So there's the direct seeing, the way the Dhamma is.
Yeah.
Unconditioned is
correct. Correct.
They exist alongside, they exist together.
Yeah, within the conditioned world. That's why word divide, duality divide. And all this is what life is all about. When we use the mundane mind to perceive, we create words, concept, idea, and division. And that's how all the phenomenal world of consciousness become like luring, grabs and cling and hold. People who don't have the direct seeing, the awareness, nature, the wisdom, they will believe it's real. They will cling, they will grasp, they will hold, they will give meaning. So all this is what understanding from that direct seeing, awareness, nature is. When you understand that, that understanding actually completely transform you, like what Po Cheng also realized. It really like wake you up. Like the whole understanding suddenly become very different. So all these are beautiful sharing and understanding. Sadhu, Amy, thank you so much.
Thank you for the condition and causes for me to
Me, the person is not me.
That means all the five aggregates of form and mind is also not me.
Not real, empty.
I really understand it's not the wordings only on the superficial theory.
Correct. Sadhu. Very good.
Thank you, Bhatio.
Thank you. Let us rejoice together.
Sadhu.
Okay, good. So we will now end. Then we will maybe do the sharing of Marissa. Oh, got two messages.
Two messages. One is that.
Okay, one's from Sister Alicia. 烦恼即菩提, it's just a flick. 感恩 brother Dio, 三界唯心，万法唯识。
Sadhu.
And then the sister Indi, Sadhu. And
Pocheng. Pocheng also wrote something.
Pocheng is Sadhu, sister Indi, Sadhu.
Okay. Let us now share merit, transfer merit, then we shall end the whole Zoom session. Today's session is very good. My nature is just Aka Sata Chirabhumata Devanaga Mahindika Punyang Tang Anamoditwa Chirang Rakantu Lokasasana Itta Wata Chamehi Sampadan Punyang Sampadan Sabbe Deva Anamodantu Sapa Sampati Sidhya Hidang Menya Tinang Kotu Sukita Hontunya Tayo Hidang Menya Tinang Kotu Sukita Hontunya Tayo Hidang Menya Tinang Kotu Sukita Hontunya Tayo Deo Wasatakalena Sasa Sampati Hetoja Hito Bawatu Lokoja Raja Bawatu Damiko Imina Punya Kamina Mami Bala Samargamo Satang Samargamo Hotu Yawa Nivana Patiya Sadhu Sadhu Sadhu. Okay, you all can now pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha, Kuan Yin Bodhisattva, and other worthy ones. And we end our whole Zoom session. Sadhu.